This week on the Union Podcast, I'm chatting with Andrea Cox.
Hi, this is Andrea Cox. You're listening to the Union Podcast, Live Strong and Prosper.
Levanta, fuerza mente
y prospera.
Any information in this podcast should first be reviewed by the corresponding professional, whether that's medical, financial, or legal, before applying it to your life. The views presented here may or may not be those of the host, guest, Union of Muscle, Black Hat Management, or its affiliates. This week, the week of July 13th to July 20th, on the unionpodcast.com, the United States is in the lead only by 21 views. As compared to Turkey, Turkey was in second place. Brazil was in third. Turkey beat Brazil by only 13 views. And Ukraine was in fourth, beating Ukraine by 2 views. India, Argentina, hola, Germany, United Kingdom, Italy, and Mexico are bringing up the rear. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Union Podcast, Lift Strong and Prosper. Hi, I'm with Andrea Cox. Andrea, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi there, I'm Andrea Cox, the owner of thehealthyhaven.net and alkalizewithandrea.com, author of Rawlicious Recipes and Juicing for Beauty, and the creator of the Digital Detox.
Okay. I don't know if you guys, well, of course, many of you may not be aware of this. I know we've got listeners all around the world tuning into the podcast. But Andrea is very well accomplished, and she started off at a fairly young age. I got a chance to kind of go over her bio, and we'll include some of this in the show notes, of course, for you guys to review. But you left home at the age of 17 to pursue your dreams. Did you know it at what were those dreams at that point?
Oh, I wouldn't say I left home to pursue my dreams at 17. I'd say I left home at 17.
Oh.
I just had bigger fish to fry, I would say. I really was ready to just embark on life, and I had no idea that life would take me on the path that it has.
Okay. And then you started into the bikini contest, and we've had bikini girls on the show before who compete in the bikini contest, and so you went into that right away.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking really old school here. I mean,
okay.
You're talking, Paul, probably, a few decades ago.
Oh, no, it was yesterday.
When I was super young, when I was like 20, we needed to pay the rent. My girlfriends and I all had a place together, and so I'd enter into bikini contests and soon found that whatever I would enter into, I would win. So that kind of got me thinking, maybe there's something to this. And was walking fast forward to about, a few years later. Mm-hmm. I was walking in a Atlanta airport and got spotted by the wife of a photographer that shot for, various magazines such as Playboy's Book of Lingerie, things of that nature. And they wanted to shoot me for, kind of the pinup style things at first. And I went ahead and uh-huh. became a pinup model for a few years. And then I saw my first fitness magazine.
There we go.
When I was about 26, I saw my first fitness magazine as I was checking out of a grocery store, and I was with my fiance at the time. I'm not married, never have been.
Oh.
But I had a fiance at the time, and I looked up at him and I said, you know what? I'm going to be on the cover of this. And about 2 months later, I was. I contacted the photographer. And we ended up shooting, and I ended up on the cover of several fitness magazines.
Now, I see the one that you have on the website that you gave me a link to. You're on the cover of Muscular Development. This is something quite a few people who get into bodybuilding and fitness. This is one of their biggest dreams, to be featured on the cover of Muscular Development and some of these other ones. So that's a big deal in this community. That's the top of the line for some of these folks.
Yeah, and again, you're talking a few years ago now. I mean,
that's okay.
So that was one of several. Not only was I on the cover, to date, I have the largest layout inside. I think I had, it was something crazy, like 30 pages.
Wow.
Of a throughout poster. So it was a nice, thing. It really put me on the map. I got a lot of requests to do a lot of other things after that. Some I took, some I passed on. I developed an eating disorder called bulimia, and that's when the real beauty happened in my life.
Really?
Absolutely. I always like to say I was blessed with an eating disorder, because the way I found healing for that eating disorder is through raw veganism, the way I've eaten for 8 years now, and the way I teach others how to transition onto that lifestyle. Celebrities and you name it, I've worked with them.
Now, do you think that, not that I would say looking back, but for maybe some girls who are getting into the bikini contests now and things like that, would you recommend that they go this route? Because it resulted in an eating disorder for you at that time.
Would I recommend they go what route?
They go into the bikini contest and into the modeling and all that?
I'm a different person than I was then. I wouldn't recommend anyone just, promote their... I'm being honest here. I speak out about eating disorders. I speak out about, women loving their bodies for whatever they look like. Those things, I gotta be honest, they're airbrushed. I was airbrushed so much in one picture that my green eyes were brown. And, truth be told, this is gonna be probably one of your most honest podcasts put out there.
Let's do it.
Because truth be told, it creates an unrealistic image for women to live up to and for young girls to live up to. And I was and still am that image today. So actually several people think I look even better now than I did as a fitness model. So it's very, it creates a certain image and standard for women especially to feel that they have to live up to, and men the same. Big, big-time bodybuilders, these men think that they have to bulk up, et cetera, to be, a man. And so I would have to say that definitely I wouldn't recommend anyone go into bikini contests to get into fitness modeling. I never had to, and I'm just being honest here, I never had to work for any magazine cover or any fitness, anything I did, or any pinup magazine or anything. I never had to. I have, I have and always have had a beautiful face and a great bod, and those two things, and a very out there personality, and those three things together, people gravitate towards that. And so I'm sure I manifested everything in my life, but no, I don't think girls have to go into bikini contests to get into fitness magazines. That's not going to link them to that at all, actually.
Right.
Maybe a Hawaiian tropic pageant, but.
Yeah, I think the same kind of thing happens with guys as well. A lot of times we'll get into fitness, a guy will get into fitness, he'll start getting some results, he'll start feeling good about himself, and then he starts looking at the magazines, and sometimes that just happens, is that there is a genetic component to winning bodybuilding competitions, especially for the guys as well. And some guys don't have to train as hard because they're naturally disposed with the genetics. And there are some guys who are given genetics which are not gonna allow them to win any bodybuilding competitions, but that's not a reason why they shouldn't work out. That's not a reason why they shouldn't be interested into fitness and to being healthy. And I'm guessing that's kind of where you've taken your fitness career, is maybe a little bit away from the glitz and the glam and a bit down to what we really are, I think, is the underpinning desire of beauty, is the health, right? There's...
I wouldn't say it's taking it down. I would say okay. it's taking it up Ooh, a lot.
Okay.
I would say, you know, as a fitness model, Christopher Knight, the star of the Brady Bunch and then his own reality show, wouldn't have wanted to work with me. You know, another gentleman that's a Tony Award-winning playwright that I worked with wouldn't have wanted to work with me. Where I'm at now, I'm sought out by some of the most, you know, elite people, you know, celebrities, et cetera, to cleanse and detoxify their bodies and take them through, you know, a detox program. And that's flattering to me. And I know for a fact they wouldn't have come to me 8 years ago when I was on the cover of a fitness magazine and said, hey, I need your help. And the reason people are coming to me now mm-hmm. is because beauty, at number one, beauty starts within. I mean, anyone who doesn't know that is just, you know, come on. I mean, it's living an ego, et cetera. But number two, beauty really isn't about packing the body with high amounts of animal protein and whey protein and, you know, these chalk powders that are made in a factory, these protein powders, and all the things that the standard bodybuilder takes in. That's not going to produce beautiful skin. That's not going to produce hair that grows beautifully. That's not going to produce youthful aging very slowly. It's going to produce rapid aging, it's going to produce a clogged colon, it's going to produce skin problems, and probably hair loss. I mean, and I learned that very, very, very soon. You know, when I was a fitness model, mm-hmm. my God, I had hair extensions, I had, you know, I mean, everything on me was just, it was fake tan, et cetera. And now, I mean, my hair's down to my butt, it's mine, you know, my skin is clear as can be. My physique is beautiful. I don't have any cellulite. I have cellulite as a fitness model. I don't have it now. Why? Because I eat clean. And when I say clean, I don't eat animal products. I've been a vegan for 8 years now. I don't eat cooked food. I eat raw fruits and vegetables, vegetable juices, and I detoxify my body on a quarterly basis. I live clean.
You still work out, though. Is that right?
Absolutely. Okay. Of course, I'll work out forever. I mean, you got to work out. You got to move the body. The lymphatic system lives in the entire body, okay? The lymphatic system goes through the chest cavity, the armpits, the back of the legs, the groin area, especially the stomach cavity. And if you're not moving your body daily, of course, it's going to be the demise of the body. And I believe in weightlifting. You know, once a weightlifter, always a weightlifter.
Okay.
For example, today, I didn't pound it at the gym at all. I did a leg routine in my home, a video that I like to watch of another gal, and I used some 15-pound dumbbells, and then I went for, you know, a long 3.5, you know, just 3.5-mile jog, and, you know, walk, jog, and I'll do yoga tonight.
That almost sounds something like any stay-at-home mom could do, or a working professional. I mean, that's a routine just about anyone could kind of get into, I would think.
Absolutely, and of course, if you're a man, you're gonna have to hit the gym. If you want a physique that is, you know, stellar, you're gonna have to pound the weights a little. But I'll tell you what, I know a lot of guys that don't, and they have beautiful bodies.
So yeah,
Because they eat well.
Okay.
They eat well.
All right. And so now I'm hearing a lot about the whole foods, the fruits, and the juicing. This sounds a lot to me like kind of the Gerson type diet.
No, it's not really like the Gerson type diet. Gerson therapy that was created by Max Therapy is to heal people from cancer. It's a very detoxifying diet. They avoid all sugars, they juice, they do coffee enemas, et cetera. And I'm very familiar with all of that.
Okay.
This is just eating real food. It's eating how the body is supposed to be eaten. You know, I don't try to make anyone a vegan. I don't think everyone should be vegan. It does not work for everyone. It depends on your blood type. O blood types don't do as well as A blood types. I happen to be an A. But I will say this. If you're eating animal products and you're not making sure it's not grass-fed and local and organic, you are doing your body and your children's bodies a huge injustice. A huge injustice. The hormones, the chemicals, you know, it's why our girls are getting their menstrual cycle at 10 years old, because of all the hormones in the dairy and things of that nature.
Now, if people are having a hard time affording some of the more organic and choice foods, are there maybe some better choices that aren't as best, but that would still allow them to eat a little bit healthier, even if they can't afford?
You could always grow your own.
Okay.
You could always grow your own. But also,
if you have land to grow it on.
Yes, or in a grow box. You know, when I lived in an apartment in Ohio, I had a grow box.
And is that enough to feed a whole family, a grow box?
It was enough to feed two people.
Okay.
You could get several. You can get more than one. You're not limited.
Okay.
To a grow box. If you even have a balcony, you can have that. But also not buying genetically modified food.
How do people know this, though? I mean, how do you go to the store and aren't there not many labels about whether it's a GMO or not or genetically modified?
Yeah, absolutely, you can figure it out.
Okay.
But organic starts with 9, okay?
Okay.
Genetically modified food starts with an 8. And then conventional food starts with something else. I'll have to look it up, actually. I'm not sure what the conventional starts with.
We'll put a link in the show notes. If you just send me that link, we'll put a link for everybody, and they can look that up themselves. And so there's a sticker then on the produce, you're saying?
Let me correct myself. If it starts with a 9, it's organic. If it starts with an 8, it's genetically modified.
And this is a label on the food?
It's the barcode.
The barcode.
You know what a barcode?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
The numbers on the back of the produce.
Okay. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure where I was looking for these numbers. So if I'm at the grocery store and I get a chance to look at the barcode before I scan it or before I put it in my shopping cart, I want to look at the first number and see if it's an 8 or a 9.
Absolutely. Nine is organic, 8 is genetically modified.
Interesting. Wow. No, that's something new. I've never heard that before. And so this is a way that people in the stores, when they're out shopping, can begin to make maybe some healthier choices for them. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because let's face it, we don't know what the government is going to come out with years from now about genetically modified food. We don't know if it causes cancer. We don't know what it does. You know, I personally don't want an apple that's crossed with salmon. I don't want to eat that. And that's what they're doing. They actually... they were crossing, you know, Japan just refused like hundreds of thousands of apples that we shipped over there. They refused our food because it was genetically modified. What does that tell you? If they're not wanting our food, why should we want to eat genetically modified food?
Yeah, I'm not totally sold myself on a genetically modified food, whether it's bad or good. You know, that's a hard topic. I know there's a lot of people who get really emotional about it. But there's this whole other scientific side of me that likes to look at the studies and likes to try to see how the studies were made, who made the studies, and really kind of get into, the scientific end of it. So I haven't yet seen anything conclusive. That doesn't mean it's not necessarily, you know, bad for you. I just haven't seen any conclusive evidence.
Yeah, I mean, we can turn this into a debate if you'd like.
No.
I can go over it. No, I know. I'm just saying, you know, bottom line is we're basically owned by Monsanto right now. Monsanto owns our food supply. We are the only country that is genetically modifying our food.
I mean,
other countries are refusing our food. What does that tell you? Countries are refusing our food that we've given them for years. I mean, it's not a good sign. It's, you know, let's face it. I don't want to eat an apple or give a child an apple that's been crossed with a fish so it has a longer shelf life. If I want fish, I'll eat fish. I'm not going to eat an apple that's been crossed with a fish. That, to me, is crazy. That we have to worry about what our vegetables have been crossed with.
Yeah. You know, I think whether it's organic or not, you still need to wash it off. So, you know,
you're not washing off GMO. You're talking
No, but you're washing off.
Chemicals and GMO are two totally different things.
So yeah, but even when they're not using the chemicals, they still have to use something to ward off the bugs. And sometimes that's made out of, you know, different natural things, which still may not be the best to ingest. So you still need to.
Tell by this conversation that this is fine, that you're not really versed in genetically modified and what exactly it is. Genetically modified has nothing to do with our food being sprayed with chemicals.
Oh, yes, I understand that.
That's conventional food. So you've got organic, which is best.
Okay.
Organic, locally grown. You've got conventional, which has been sprayed with pesticides, which is not, you know, very good. Then you've got the GMO that's usually been sprayed and has been crossed with something else to give it either a longer shelf life, to make it look shinier, so more people buy it. There's several reasons they do that, and it's terrible. We don't know what it's going to... I mean, tell me, how many times has our government put something out there and years later said, I'm sorry. Aspartame is now linked to cancer. We're sorry we put it in everything from pop, soda pop, to cookies, to crackers, to ice cream for a decade and a half. It's now we know it causes cancer. I mean, come on, you know, let's be real here. I don't want my kids, if I had kids, I'm not going to let them eat that.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is that people know what's going on out there and they're given the ability to choose whether or not they you know, want the food that's been genetically modified or they don't. So I think it's important that people do understand that, and I really like the fact that you told everyone about the numbers that they can look for, at least in the U.S. I don't know what the...
You hate me yet, Paul? I hope you don't hate me. I'm such a debater.
No.
I'm so passionate about food. I'm so passionate about food, and I couldn't have said it better myself. What you said is, I think it's important that we have the right to choose, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
The government's not educating us. So we have to learn for ourselves about what's genetically modified, what's not, what's sprayed, what's not. We have to educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. Our government is... I'm never allowed to curse on your show, I'm sure, so I'll just keep to myself.
We can change the rating on the program, or we can delete it later, whichever you prefer.
Our government isn't teaching us shit about it. They're not. They're just doing it to us. And I think, you know, I think it's a sad, sad day when, you know, we have to worry about looking at barcodes, which we do now, on our food to see if it's been altered with other things to, you know, make it prettier, make it last longer on the shelf. It's sad.
Yeah, and I think that can kind of go over into the supplement stuff too, is that not all the supplements you get in the supplement shop are going to be helping you the way you think they're going to be helping you.
I agree.
And so I think we can almost expand the same idea of not trusting everything that you're told, and beginning to take kind of control of your life and your health, and looking at that and not trusting everything you hear, but do your research. Do your research and try to find out for yourself. We live in a wonderful age of technology in that we can research these things. You can go online for the most part. If you're listening to this podcast, you must have gotten it online, at some source. So you should be able to get online and do this research. That's one good thing technology has brought us, is the ability to do this kind of research for ourselves and to not solely rely on governments and school systems and things like that. But we can learn about these things for ourselves. And
yeah, I agree. And, you know, speaking of the supplements, I was highly into Fedra products when I was a model and very much addicted to things like that. And I'm grateful for some of the bans that they put on these supplements. I mean, bottom line, if you eat clean and you eat quality food, vegan or not, you are going to be able to get by minimal amounts of supplements, maybe a little L-glutamine powder, maybe a little, you know, creatine if you're drawing water in. I personally am an herbalist. I like things like gynostemma, hoshiwu, pearl powder, ginseng, and astragalus for the adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated to a level of supplementation that is no longer supplementation. It's herbalism.
It's what ism?
Herbalism.
Oh, okay. All I heard was some ism. So
yeah.
Herbalism.
Herbs.
Yes. Well, I mean, and that's where a lot of these supplements are kind of coming from, is they're trying to extract different things from the herbs and the roots and this and that, and distilling it down into more of a concentrated form. When I'm, you know, with my athletes, as I call the clients who I work with, when I'm talking with athletes, I hardly ever encourage them to go the supplement route first. I really encourage them to eat good foods and get a good diet.
I agree.
And, you know, I do steer them away from breads and pastas and that end of the spectrum if they're trying to tighten their physique up, if they're trying to lean out. Many people are addicted to those breads and those pastas, and for many of them, switching to a diet that's less intense on those can help them shed some pounds and still be healthy. I can actually increase their caloric intake, the amount of meals they're eating, the amount of food they're eating, and they can still lose weight by switching what they're eating.
Of course. And again, it depends on who you talk to.
Right.
You know, I dated a New Zealand trainer that was on, he was a fitness trainer for New Zealand's Next Top Model, very well-known trainer. And he didn't take any supplements. It was very admirable. I really, really liked. And he was huge and built like just an absolute brick shit house. But he didn't take any supplements. And it was a real turn-on for me. I was like, gosh, that's awesome. And, you know, then when I was a fitness model, I dated fitness guys that were on everything under the sun and the whey protein. It was such a turnoff. And I really think just, you know, and I've got to say this, and I know it's polar opposite of what you think, but the low-carb thing, I personally believe, is absolute bullshit.
Oh, okay. Not a fan of ketogenesis, huh?
Taking someone's carbs away to where then they end up binging on carbs one day a week and calling it a quote-unquote cheat day when they're just going absolutely overboard is so hard on the liver, it ages the body.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't recommend the cheat days. I don't do any of those cheat days. I do most things gradually and try to, you know, tweak things to what's going to be best for them, but I'm not... I don't ever recommend a cheat day because I think life is just so full of situations where we can't follow our diet as well that we should be doing normally. You go on vacation, you're on a long road trip, things like that. You know, so stuff happens in life. But if you're trying to eat clean the majority of the time, you know, if you're out at a wedding, you don't necessarily have to turn down the wedding cake because you're on a diet, unless, you know, you're about to go on stage for a bodybuilding competition or something like that. You know, if you're about to go on stage the next week, you should probably do whatever your coach is telling you, you know, and if that includes staying away from the cake that time. But for the majority of the people, you know, who are trying to be fit and healthy, if they're eating healthily most of the time and eating clean most of the time, if they do come to the wedding or something like that, it's not going to necessarily kill them to have a few extra carbs or a few things that are off of their diet unless there's known allergens.
There's good carbs and bad carbs.
Yeah.
All carbs are not created
equal. Oh, definitely.
You know, I mean, people are under the mindset that, you know, I mean, all carbs are created equal, and it's not true.
Right.
Wheat potatoes are clean carbs. White rice is actually more beneficial than brown rice. Brown rice has something in it, a neurotoxin, that actually cannot be digested by the body. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. I'll send you a link.
Yeah, send the link.
White rice burns much cleaner. Sweet potatoes burn clean. Whole grain, gluten-free pasta burns clean. You've got to really pick your... You know, there's a replacement for everyone. I tell
sure.
people to use kelp noodles. If they like pasta, I say kelp noodles.
Right, right.
Kelp noodles are they're very healthy.
Yes.
There's, like, no calories in them. But, you know, I think sweet potatoes are very healthy. And I wear a size 2, and I can eat 3 or 4 baked sweet potatoes after a big avocado salad, and it'll go right through me. And the reason is because my body's clean. So if people are not living a clean lifestyle... No, this stuff is going to sit, it's going to ferment in the belly, it's going to cause toxicity. You know, I mean, if they're loading up on crap food, it's just going to ferment and cause toxicity. But if they're clean, everything digests well when the body's clean.
Definitely. Now, going back to your website real quick, I clicked on the...
Which website?
The healthyhaven.net.
Okay.
So I clicked on the products, and I was actually surprised at how affordable some of the things are, the products and the programs that you offer. I was surprised at how affordable they were. When I hear celebrity chef and TV personality, and, you know, if I hear those things, you know, I'm going to say, wow, this person, they're going to charge me a pretty penny for it, for everything they
and
could possibly think of.
I mean, if you go to alkalizewithandrea.com, it's going to cost you over $3,000 to spend a few days with me detoxing. And if you're doing it in a non-retreat setting, it's going to cost you more. I mean, I do. There's different... Here's the thing with me.
Yes.
When I created the Digital Detox, which is a $97 program, I created that for all of those people that were following me on Facebook on my Andrea L. Cox page and saying, but Andrea, I can't afford to come spend $3,000 or $4,000 with you and go to one of your retreats. And that's why I created that. And it was actually the brainchild of, of mine before I even created the retreats. I wanted to help everyone. So, you know, and of course my products are, the products I sell are all natural, and the detoxes I sell are very easy to follow. I would say the digital detox is my number one, and I also work with people coaching, and, you know, those prices aren't on there. There is a link for my coaching program, but it's to email me.
Right.
And I do Skype consults, and yeah, of course.
Yeah, but you even have this juicing for beauty ebooks. You have it listed at 27 as at the time we're recording this podcast. Recipes.
It's a book. How much would you pay for a book in Barnes and Noble?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, great though that you basically have something that just about anybody, at least in the U.S., can afford to get. And I'm sure there's people outside the U.S. who might be able to get enough together to get your recipe book, and they can start learning how to get the raw foods where they're at and juice them and do all the other things you say in your diet book. So I think that's, I just want to actually just take a moment to congratulate you on having
it. I don't believe in diets. I believe in ways of life. So Relicious Recipes was written when I was a fitness model about my eating disorder and then how I transitioned and changed my life going onto a raw vegan diet.
Okay.
And then Juicing for Beauty is a compilation of all my favorite juice recipes because I'm a huge advocate of juicing.
Now, juicing, are those mainly vegetable juices or fruit juices or...
You know, here's the thing.
Okay.
Everybody's different.
Right.
I like a ratio of about 85% to 95% vegetables and a little bit of fruit.
Okay.
This is huge.
Okay.
I do not cut fruit out of my clients' diets. However, when you're juicing fruit, it's going straight into your bloodstream.
Right.
So it's too much of a rush. So I prefer my clients to eat their fruit and juice their vegetables.
Wow. Okay. That's good. I like hearing that. I think it goes along with some of my ideas about how food assimilates into the body. And I like that, you know, you have that, cause it's that fiber, right? It's the fiber in the fruit that kind of helps to balance out all that sugar you're putting in it.
It's not even just the fiber. Okay. I mean, okay, the reason we juice is to give the body a break. We're bombarded with toxins every day. We get out of the shower, we slather on chemicals that are full of toxins on the largest organ of our body, which is our skin. And, you know, the fact of the matter is our body needs a break. It needs one meal a day where it has no fiber in it at all, which is our juice.
Okay.
So it can detox. But then when I say fruit, it's because, quite honestly, we are creatures that our brain survives on glucose and sugar. So if we don't get a little bit of natural sugar in us every day in the form of fresh fruit, I mean, what's more natural than fruit falling off of a tree? Seriously. It's only going to ferment and cause issues and cause weight issues if your body is filled up with a bunch of crap food, if you're not food combining properly, etc. So I like people to juice a nice vegetable juice, eat some fresh fruit, and, you know, have their big salads, et cetera. And you know, if they want a little animal protein, they can have it if it's food combined properly.
Okay. Now, with juicing, that's done usually with a juicer and not a blender, or can you do it with a blender and still get kind of the effect, or?
I prefer a juicer. Mm-hmm. If you do it with a blender, you have to strain it through a nut milk bag. A juice is no fiber. A blender makes a blended drink. A juice makes a juice with no fiber.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to kind of give people an idea of what are some of the things they're getting into when they begin, say, a juicing type of lifestyle. Or
yeah, I have a great YouTube channel. A couple of my videos have over 100,000 views, so it's really informative. And it's the Healthy Haven Net One on YouTube.
Okay.
The Healthy Haven Net One. And I've got over, I think, 400 videos, and I've got several on juicing. And I've done several videos on why, the difference between juicing and blending.
Okay. And so, well, I guess we'll include those links in the show notes as well so people can get to your YouTube channel and watch some of those videos. How often do you come out with the new videos?
Are you going to edit me? I thought I'd ask while we're on air. Are you going to edit me, Paul? I hope you don't edit this. I know I'm a little debating.
I'm definitely.
I hope you actually keep everything in.
I'm definitely editing out all my ums and ahs and awkward stutters that I do.
Your ums and ahs make you who you are. They sound great.
Yeah, but people don't always have time. Well, thank you. From what you were telling me, you've been on radio shows with Howard Stern and things like that. So that's a pretty big compliment.
I think your ums and ahs are great.
Oh, thank you. Maybe this will be our first episode that we do where we don't do any editing, and that would save me hours and hours of time. It's very true.
Nice.
Okay, so you've got a YouTube channel where people can learn more about you, and how often do you do new episodes, or what's the schedule there?
I do pretty much every week. I'll get at least, sometimes I do daily videos, but usually always at least 3 videos a week.
Wow, that's really good. Okay, so you've got the juicing channel, or the YouTube channel. You've got a Facebook page, and I've seen some of your videos, I guess, pop up on your Facebook page too, but those are kind of like the daily update type videos.
Mm-hmm.
And you
get
into you get into lots of different topics. I think you talked about animal rights on one, talked about encouraging people on others. I think you did a, you know, one where you were talking about the thankful video, even though you weren't necessarily wanted to fall into that boot camp of doing all these, you know, daily thanking videos, but you still did one. So there's lots of different topics you touch on. So who are you? Is there a box you fit in, or?
Oh, I don't think I'll ever fit into a box. I would never put myself into a box. You know what? I'm just a girl from Dayton, Ohio, that moved out to Southern California 3.5 years ago, and I started out as a pinup model and a fitness model. I got sick with an eating disorder. I healed myself on a raw food, juicing, detoxifying way of life. And I honestly want to save the world one juice at a time. That's my goal. You know, I'm a lucky gal. I have the ability to draw some pretty amazing things and amazing people into my life. And I've been blessed with the people I've worked with. I've been blessed with what I've got coming up. Some things I can say and some things I can't talk about. And oh. I'm just blessed in this life. And I'm very grateful. Very grateful.
Yeah. No, you've done a lot so far. I've read that bio and you've done a lot of great things. And I could see that there may be quite a few people who may start looking up to you in life and may start saying, you know, this girl, she's done a lot. She's accomplished many things. You know, she's someone I might want to follow and might want to learn from along the way in life.
It's sweet of you to say that. And I think I've pretty much, in the past year and a half, built a strong following. I've gotten over close to 800,000 views on my YouTube channel and over 6,000 subscribers. I've got, on my personal page alone on Facebook, I believe I'm pushing 11,000 followers and, of course, 5,000 friends and 2 fan pages and a couple private groups. And Instagram and Twitter are going strong and Google Plus is up there. I'm pretty much making, I think, a good name for myself and my amazing list that I have on the healthyhaven.net. People can leave their name and email address. I think I'm building a strong following, and it's only going to get bigger from here. And I think the reason people gravitate towards me is because I'm real. I tell it like it is. There's no sugarcoating with me. I'm not going to tell you you can eat like crap and have the body of your dreams, and you cannot go work out, or if you're a guy, not lift weights and have the body of your dreams. I'm going to seriously tell you how I feel. I'm gonna talk about how veganism changed my life and how I don't think it's for everyone, but I do think it can help a lot, especially women, to reduce their body mass. And I'm gonna talk about the way I feel about, you know, I think you mentioned a video about animal rights. It was about the opening day at Del Mar,
yes,
where I live in San Diego. I'm completely against it. And I'm going to talk about, you know, all kinds of things like that. I think the reason people love to follow me is because, yeah, I'll go on our local news. I just went on the news last month here in San Diego on KUSI. But then I'll think nothing of spitting out of my mouth how appalled I am at people that attend, like, the Del Mar races, where there's avid horse abuse and horses are dying weekly there. And I think nothing is saying that. I speak my mind.
Now, it must take a lot of time, though, to do all this work, to do the videos, to put the posts up, to do the podcast. On top of that, you've got the clientele, you've got books that you've made, you've got products that you're endorsing or creating. How do you find the time? Is there an order of operations? What do you concentrate on first? What's the most important? If someone wanted to kind of, it was inspired by you so much that they wanted to emulate you, have you learned anything along the way of gaining this kind of success that might help them?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That might help them.
As far as like marketing and things of that nature.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people who are in the fitness industry or who are wanting to build their physique so then they can build a career around health and fitness. But it can be maybe of a daunting task, especially when you're starting out.
Yeah, I think what I would recommend as far as fitness goes, I mean, you know, you have to have your body dialed in, but there's a lot of people that are vegan bodybuilders that you can follow and follow their regime. There's no vegan fitness model. There's so many vegan followers, and I'll send you links for that as well.
Yeah.
But so you don't have to do the norm of the high protein, the protein powders, the whey, denatured whey protein shakes. For God's sake, if you're doing whey protein, get grass-fed. And as far as just marketing and my business, you know, I've been blessed to be surrounded by a great group of marketers. I was engaged to one for a period of time, and then he opened the door for me to really get to know several others. And I just left to have the people on my Facebook feed and things of that nature that have taught me so much, and the tips that I learned from the person I was in a relationship with. But to be honest with you, at the end of the day, there's no other word to say, but I am a ball buster, Paul, meaning I work my cucus off. I get it done, okay? If I say I'm going to do something, you better believe I'm not only going to do it, I'm going to do it bigger and better than it's been done before. And, you know, I mean, it's definitely not cheap to run the type of business I do and have a videographer come in and do all of that. But, I'm working on a crowdfunding campaign now, and I've got a lot of things in the works, and I might be, and I don't even know if I'll put that out. I haven't even decided yet, but okay. Definitely your people can look for that.
Okay. All right. So if you're a young lady or a young man who's dialing in their physique and thinks they want to do something more with it, their next step is to start doing videos or start creating a following. What's the next step to get noticed?
Do you know your stuff? If someone doesn't know their stuff, I would not say start doing videos. I would never have done videos 8 years ago. I didn't know anything. I had, seriously, when I was a fitness model, I was dumber than a bag of rocks when it came to nutrition, because I was living that dead protein, blah, 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 the fitness model lifestyle, which almost everyone comes to this conclusion once they become conscious about how the body ages, they stop with the whole dead, denatured diet. I mean, everyone who becomes conscious does that. I would say, follow your heart.
Okay.
Wait, allow things to come to you, say yes, or if you feel it's not for you, say no. I've got a big decision weighing on me now with something that's huge that would blow my following up beyond belief. And I gotta tell you, I'm just like, I literally am like, okay, you know what? Who cares what everyone else is saying and how great this will be for me? Is it great for me right now, or do I want something even better? That's where I'm at with that right now.
Those are hard decisions to make.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
Those are hard decisions to make.
Very, very hard. Life-changing, very hard. But, at the end of the day, you never know if it's going to change your life for the good or change it for the bad.
So what do you do?
You pray on it.
Okay. All right. So the first then is to dial
that out. I'm just kidding.
It's okay. First to dial in the physique. Then it's to get educated in something, follow your heart, and get educated in something that you can be passionate about, that you can then go out there and be, at least talk educated or talk with some authority on, and then start making the videos and I guess, contact a podcaster like me, maybe, or Howard Stern. If you had a choice between this podcast and Howard Stern people, you should probably at this point, in all honesty, go with Howard Stern. If Howard Stern were to even, I know he's really good at like taking people down in the broadcasting world. Even him taking me on, that would be an honor at this point. Even if he were to crush me, but I don't think I'm on his radar. So, folks, if you do get a chance to get on some podcasts, it can be a great opportunity for you to talk about who you are. Talk about what you're doing and what your goals and aspirations are. And you may start getting a following there as well. But you definitely need to, I guess, get a good team around you. Is that what I'm hearing? You found a good team of people to help you along the way?
No, I don't. I actually don't have a team right now.
Oh.
I had a team about a year ago. I had a team of 5 people that were around me at all times. And, I have a videographer I like to call in on occasion, and I have a personal assistant, but that's it. I don't have a huge team right now, and I find that when you do things yourself, it gets done. You know, whenever I had a team, there was always something that didn't get done. And a team is important. But I would say also be real. No one's going to follow you if you're just all about BS on your Facebook wall or whatever. Be a real person. Be a real person. Don't, you know, I see a lot of, I call it marketing BS go on social media.
Yeah.
You know, people off jet setting or people doing this or that when in actuality they can barely pay their, you know, their mortgage.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is people see through that. If you're not real and authentic, they're going to see through that. And that's probably the most valuable piece of information I can give you.
Just to be real. So get that knowledge, but be real. It's a hard thing because I think there's a lot of people, especially the younger people who are getting into fitness, and that's when it gets real exciting and everything else, who are getting into fitness and getting into trying to get into the fitness industry in one way or another, who have yet to just kind of discover who they are. And they're trying to use fitness as a way of giving them a staple of saying, I am, you know, this fitness person. That's who I'm trying to be. And that's who they're trying to create themselves to be. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it does, like you said, it makes it difficult when you're not secure about who you are and what you're about to yourself. It is going to be hard to create a genuine following of people who are following you because of who you are and not because of necessarily maybe what you could do for them or, you know, just because you're selling a product they're interested in or you could sell a product for them.
Yeah. Just be yourself and be real. You know, I mean, bottom line, people gravitate towards authenticity. Bottom line, they gravitate towards authenticity. So it seems they're best about it.
And I think at the end of the day, if you're authentic with yourself and with those around you, you can kind of go to bed a little bit easier. You can rest easier when you've done your best.
A lot easier. Let's face it. If you're acting like some stellar guy and blah, 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 yet you're cursing at your girlfriend left and right or whatever, that's not authentic. You know, be real. Be a real person. I mean, treat people how you want to be treated.
Definitely.
So, that's all.
I said definitely.
Yeah.
Great. Well, hey.
Gosh, we've been on almost an hour.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I wanted to, you know, thank you for taking the opportunity to come on the podcast, to speak your mind. And, you know, I think what we can do is really give people a better opportunity to get to know you a little bit here. Maybe they'll get a chance to hit up some of your links. I subscribe to your newsletter. That's the first thing I did when I got on your website. You asked me to throw in my email. I had no fear about doing that. Yep, no fear about doing that. You know, no one's going to hurt me by giving them my email address, especially you. Felt very confident that we're going to treat that email respectably. So no one has to worry about that. So go ahead and sign up for that newsletter.
We don't sell your email. We don't spam. We just send one newsletter out a week. You know, occasionally you'll get two a week, and that's it. And it's all really valuable information.
All right, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Union Podcast, Lift Strong and Prosper.
Yay, thank you.
Okay, all you beautiful fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes, don't forget to like us on Facebook, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, sign up for free membership in the Union of Muscle, help our union-sponsored athletes by donating to their fund, and lift strong and prosper. Do you have a great idea for a podcast or think you can do a fitness podcast better? Go to www.fullservicepodcasts.com. That's podcasts with an S. Get as much or as little help as you need creating and hosting podcasts on iTunes and on the internet. That's www.fullservicepodcasts.com. FullServicePodcasts.com. Congratulations, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. By listening to this entire podcast, you get a union membership free. Simply go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the union membership registration form. Now, as a member of the Union of Muscle, you get updates on this podcast, as well as the ability to earn points
for staying fit. I call these points Fitcoin. You can earn Fitcoin by tracking your fitness, getting fitness certifications, participating in team events, or going on union raids, and so much more. Track your success on the Union Leaderboard, where you can compete with other union members, athletes, for top placement in a fearsome competition of fitness. Would you like to be a guest on our podcast? Go to theunionofmuscle.com and go to the Contact Us page. There you will find an application for guest speakers.
Do you compete in bodybuilding physique or bikini and are not yet sponsored? The Union of Muscle can help with our union-sponsored competitor fund. Join other highly effective, value-building competitors and share in the success. Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on the Union-Sponsored Competitor tab for more information. Join the Union.
I want to take a moment to thank our athletes. Our athletes are those who have taken the bull by the horns to lift strong and prosper. They, out of their own pockets, pay to get this podcast off the ground, pay to keep it going. They do this not through any direct donation, but they participate in our programs. They have union-sponsored coaches that help them train to lift strong and prosper. So I wanted to give a shout-out to all of our union athletes. Thank you for making this podcast possible, so that way all our members throughout the whole world can listen. To become a union athlete, go to www.theunionofmuscle.com and click on the athlete page. There you will find an application. Fill it out, and dues apply for athletes. But it's our athletes, once again, those dues that they're paying are keeping this podcast going. Lift strong and prosper, everyone.
The race is on. Hello, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. I'm starting a new contest for all the people all around the world. This is how it works. Every week, I'm going to look at the stats of our blog, theunionpodcast.com. On there, I will see every week a list of entries and page views per country. I will then announce which country is in the lead, what the page views are, and who's in the lead. The best way to get your country to reach the top is, of course, to get more people to listen.
You have been listening to the Union Podcast. All rights are reserved by the content's creators.